We're participating again this week in the Season for Nonviolence, which we did last week also. And if you weren't here last week, or if you do not know, the Season for Nonviolence is a spiritual movement that is dedicated to creating peace in this world through nonviolent actions or nonviolent means. And so today I light a candle for peace. And I light a candle for peace, specifically the peace that is born out of understanding. And so I would like to reiterate also from last week that peace is more than just an absence of violence. It is more than an absence of war and conflict, but that peace also includes within it a sense of well-being and a sense of ease, a sense of serenity, and a sense that really all is well. That's really what peace is. And so I would like to have peace in my life. I would like to have peace in my home. I would like to have peace in this world. I would like to have a sense of ease and well-being and serenity. How about you? Yeah. It seems right now that we are at this point in history where there is so much turmoil and conflict and divisiveness in other countries and in our country, and specifically even more so in our political arena right now. There seems to be so much divisiveness. There is conflict and divisiveness between races, between political parties, between the left and the right, and it seems really divisive right now. And that divisiveness and that conflict, even just in that political arena, kind of leaks into our own lives. And it can create conflict in our homes, and it can create conflict at our places of work. It has created conflict in the hair salon where I work, I know that for sure. It creates conflict sometimes within families, between people and their friends. And I know people who have actually disowned people in their lives because of that divisiveness in this political arena and political climate today. People who have disowned friends, people who have disowned Facebook people, people who have disowned people in their families. And you know what? The problem isn't that we have different opinions. The problem isn't that we hold different perspectives. The problem is that we are so defensive. The problem is that we are so locked into defending our position and that we hold things as black or white. It's either black or it's white. We hold things that if it's black and white, that means that one person is right and one person is wrong. Then what happens when we are holding it that way, we see those other people as our adversaries. And then we become adversarial, and we become defensive, and we get this attitude where we become intolerant. And not just us, but the other people also. And so, I don't know, does that only happen in my life, or does that happen in your life also? Yeah. And it feels really uncomfortable. Does that feel uncomfortable to you, that divisiveness? You know, as spiritual beings, because we are spiritual beings, that's why that divisiveness feels so uncomfortable. Because as spiritual beings, we don't want to be divisive, because as spiritual beings, we don't want to be divided. That's why it's so uncomfortable. We don't want to feel divided from other people. As spiritual beings, we want to feel connected. And we want to feel like we are part of this one human family. We want to feel like we're all in this together. And we want to feel like we are all headed in the same direction together towards greater good and ever greater good. That's what we really want. And so the title of my talk today is Vantage Point. And what I'm talking about is that we create greater peace within ourselves and within our lives and within the world when we are willing to expand our perspective, when we are willing to understand somebody else's point of view. Not to take on their point of view, but to understand their point of view. Whether you're talking about your spouse or your boss or your coworkers or people of other political persuasions, when you're willing to really understand their perspective, it shifts things. Because you know what? We all have different perspectives, all of us. We all see things differently. And the word perspective comes from a Latin word that means see through or perceive. That means we all have a different lens or a different vantage point that we are looking from out into the world. And so a person's perspective is based on their past experiences, whether they're good or bad experiences. It's based on their current knowledge. Their perspective is based on what they've been taught. Their perspective is based on their values and their feelings. But it's a perspective. It's looking through that lens and seeing what is out there from that vantage point. And so seeing things from different perspectives, you know, a really great example is say that you and one of your friends are taking a walk and you're on the sidewalk and you stop because there's some chalk writing on the sidewalk. And you look down and you go, oh, it's a 9. But your friend's standing over here and your friend goes, no, it's a 6. No, it's a 9. No, it's a 6. So who's right? You're both right given your perspective. And let's say I tell you this story. I love to ride motorcycles. And when I go for a motorcycle ride, I love to take my dog with me. He's so cute, and I tie a scarf around his neck, and when we go, his ears flap in the wind, and he looks so cute, and it's so fun. But if you ask my dog, he tells you it's terrifying. He can't get his claws into the seat to hold on tight, and there's no sides, there's nothing to hold him in. Who's right? We're both right given our perspective because it depends on your perspective. It depends on your value system. It depends on what's important to you. The wind in your face and going fast or being able to get your feet into the seat to hold on. That is the determining factor about your perspective. And so I was reading an article this week that inspired this talk, and it was based on what's called spiral dynamics. Alexis, spiral dynamics. And so I have a slide that I'm going to show you, and it's really about 8 different views of life, and you can't really read it. So I printed one out to share with you, to read it to you. And so it's about 8 different views of life. And so the first one is actually beige. And I'm going to tell you just a little tiny bit about the first 3. And beige is based in the idea that life is survival. So it is motivated by food and water and warmth and sex and safety. That's a viewpoint of life, the vantage point they're standing from. Purple is the next one, and it is that life is in the lap of the gods. That means that those people are motivated by a strong allegiance to chief, to elders, to ancestors. Red is the bottom left-hand corner, and it says that life is a battleground. It is motivated, those people are motivated to please themselves, and they are very selfish. They expect everything and appreciate almost nothing. I'm going to read for the next 3 the whole thing of what it says. Orange says that life is what we have and what we own. So those people are motivated by risk-taking, competition, status, and image. They believe that self-reliant people deserve success. Societies prosper through strategy, technology, and competitiveness. Earth's resources should be used to create and spread the abundant good of life. Do you know people that come from that perspective? Okay, blue is the next one. And it says, life is God's will and law. They are motivated and believe that they sacrifice self to the cause, the truth, or the pathway. They are motivated by following constitutions, commandments, laws, or codes based on absolute principles. They believe that following the principles produce a good society now and will be rewarded in the future. Impulsivity is controlled through guilt, common sense, and rules of behavior. Children should be educated to follow rules, conform, and conserve the system. Do you know people that live out of that perspective and paradigm? The next one is green. This is the one that most of us fit into in this movement. Life is community and precious. We are motivated to free society from greed and dogma and selfishness and divisiveness. We feel that there is a need to prioritize feelings and sensitivity and caring. Earth's resources are limited and precious and should be shared equally among everyone. Green people believe that all decisions should be made through reconciliation and the consensus process. And I'm going to give you a couple more that are just little pieces of yellow. Life is about learning and continual change. Weakness and differences are expected and integrated into interdependence. Chaos and change are expected, natural, and appreciated as part of human evolution. Sometimes we're there, sometimes we're not. Turquoise says life is an evolving, interactive whole. People who are turquoise are motivated to help everything connect together into a single, dynamic organism with its own collective mind. Self is both distinct and a blended part of the larger, compassionate whole. And sometimes we're there. But reading that this week gave me a huge aha that those people that I disagree with are coming from one of those different perspectives than the one that I come out of. When I disagree with someone, they aren't wrong and I'm not right. It's just a different vantage point that they're looking at life from. They are viewing life from a different vantage point and a different set of values. And when I'm able to know that, it softens my heart. It makes me not think that they are evil and bad and wrong and ruining the world. It softens my heart. It's a different perspective. It takes me out of those feelings of being adversarial. What happens when we are locked into supporting our position and knowing that it is the only right position, it is the only way that there is? It's like it puts us in this steel box, this steel solid box, and we can't see out of it. We can't see anything outside of what is inside that's our perspective. And no light can get in. And there's no freedom, and there's no movement. There is no common ground. And when we are defending our position like that, we are locked in that box all by ourselves, all alone. And so I read a story this week that I'd like to share that I thought was such a great example of this. Comes out of an article that says, 8 things I know for sure about middle school kids. One of them is they are mortified by public praise. Says elementary schools seem to delight in being recognized in front of their peers. Winning the perfect attendance award, student of the month, the highest math score, all of these make them beam with pride. Put a middle school kid up in front of his peers and wax poetic on his good qualities, and you may see that kid shrivel up like an old grape. I had a student once, a tough Bosnian guy who also happened to be a fantastic writer. One day while returning papers, I called out, "If you want to see a really well-written essay, look at Amir's." My thinking was that they would think, wow, if a cool guy like Amir can write that well, then I want to do that. Nope. Amir looked at me like I just took his wallet. And for the rest of the year, he turned in crappy writing. It's not that the praise was unwelcome. It was the public part he didn't like. if I wanted to keep him writing well, I should have just kept the praise quiet. So who's right? The teacher's perspective about public praise or the middle schooler's perspective? They're right given their perspective. That's all it is a perspective. And so if we in this room want to have compassion and we want to feel connected and we want to feel like we are all a part of this one human family, if we want to come from love, then it behooves us to be willing to really understand somebody else's perspective, to be willing to look through their eyes and see how it is that they're seeing things. Do you want to come from love or do you want to come from defensiveness? Is one of them more spiritual than the other one? So there is a difference between argument and debate. In debate, there are rules of engagement. And you know, if you are on a debate team, oftentimes you are required to defend both positions, or sometimes you're even required to take the position that you disagree with and argue that point. And so what if in your life where you have someone that you disagree with, what if you looked for rational justification for their viewpoint? What if you looked for support for their viewpoint? No, this is a 6. Wow, I wonder if I could see it as a 9 like that other person's seeing it. What if you look for rational justification? Debate requires that you share your side and that you hear the other side. You have to say why you believe what you believe, not just that you believe it, why you believe it. You have to share the why and the details about it. In debate, both sides are working towards an understanding. Both sides are working towards common ground. Probably common ground that you didn't even know existed between the two of you. And so what if when you disagree with someone, you are open to hear their perspective without making them wrong and without making you wrong? What if you were willing to understand their perspective and where they're coming from without a need to change your own mind or without a need to change their mind, but just to understand each other? That's compassion. What if you talked with them just for the purpose of greater understanding? In understanding, there is peace. There's peace inside of us, and there's peace between us in that understanding. And so what if, as a part of your spiritual practice, you developed the desire to understand and to have a greater perspective? What if, as part of your spiritual path, you loved those that you disagree with? Emerson says, peace cannot be achieved through violence, and I say, or aggression or fighting. It can only be obtained through understanding. Peace is obtained through understanding. Haven't you had that experience in your own life where you get in a fight with your spouse, and as soon as you understand where they were coming from and why they did what they did, all of a sudden there's no anger anymore? It's about understanding someone else's perspective. And so my invitation to you is to really be clear about what it is that you are for. Not so much what you're against, but what are the principles that you're for? Why is this thing important to you? What are you for in this thing? That tells you what your values are. And then be willing to understand another person's perspective, to really understand it. Without it having to be black or white, without it having to be right or wrong, it's just another perspective. And look for understanding, and look for common ground. Could there be justification for their point of view? I have a friend, Walt. I've had conversations with him. He looks at things very differently than I do. And when he tells me his perspective, I totally get it. I get why he sees it that way. That's not how I see it, but I get it. And the last is come from love. Let that challenging situation be a part of your spiritual path. Because you know what? It is. And so blessings to every single one of you as you stand in your own spirit and in your own love and in your own knowing and in your own open-heartedness and compassion and oneness with this human family. Blessings to all of you. And I'll tell you, this was a hard talk to write. And so I invite you right now to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so how good it is just to recognize and know and feel and sense that, yes, indeed, we are surrounded by that infinite presence, that we live and move and have our beingness within this love, within this absolute wisdom and intelligence, within this one life, this one creative intelligence, creativity itself. That every single one of us, we are outpicturings of this one. All that we see and all that is yet to come, all that is this presence expressing itself and unfolding itself as this world and in this world and through this world. And so today we just stand firmly in that knowing that yes, indeed, we are expressions of that one and conduits for its expression in this world. And so today in our open-heartedness and in our open-mindedness, we access a deeper wisdom. We access a deeper compassion. We access a deeper love. For indeed, we are all part of this one human family. We are all collectively a part of this one. And so today I know that in this open-mindedness and open-heartedness, there is healing that is occurring. There is healing that is occurring in relationships where there has been strife, where there has been hurt feelings. And in its place is openness and love and care and kindness and compassion. All those things that we stand for as spiritual beings, as awake beings on this spiritual path. And so today, I know that any resistance that we have had simply dissipates, for we are standing here in the light of the divine, as the light of the divine. And in that, there is only peace. And in that, there is only love. And in that, there is absolute clarity and good. And so it is with a grateful heart, grateful to know this truth and grateful to be willing and flexible and open, that I release this prayer into that infinite law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself right now in ways imagined and unimagined. What a blessing it is for all of us. And so I release this prayer and I say, thank you, God, and so it is.